Your life is precious. This is it. You've got one shot at this. But is there a sense on the inside that you're capable of so much more? If so, the Missing Secret podcast is for you. The book Think and Grow Rich has been read by over 150 million people. It's the top book in the world on success by a factor of 10. In the book, it says there's a secret for success, but the author only gives us half the secret.
When I turned 50, I figured out the full secret, the missing secret, and developed a 12-minute-a-day technique to apply it. And it caused my income to go up by 25 times over the $200,000 to $300,000 a year I was making in the prior 20 years. I felt so blessed.
When John taught me the missing secret, it changed my life, doubling my income and dramatically impacting my health, relationships, and quality of life.
Today, most people are just winging life. They don't have anything pulling them forward to their desired life.
Leverage yourself through science. It takes 12 minutes a day. Watch what happens.
Welcome to the Missing Secret Podcast. I'm Kelly Hatfield.
Hey, and I'm John Mitchell. So our topic today is measuring your key behaviors on your goals. Now, Kelly, what do you think about that? Do you think that's important?
I think it is extremely important. I'm so excited that we're talking about this today because it really is that important.
So I guess to sort of set the stage for this, with our methodology, as you know, you're living your life quarter by quarter, and so you're setting up a new goal for your health, a new goal for your romantic relationship, a new goal for your career. So you define what the goal is, the why behind it, and then the two or three or four key behaviors associated with each goal, and then the measurement of the goal, as well as the time frame. Of course, the time frame is always sort of the end of the quarter, but that's the goal setting system that was really developed by, you know who I'm talking about. Now I forget his name. Big thought leader. You know who I'm talking about? Oh, Brian Tracy.
Brian Tracy. That's right.
Right. So I incorporated his method into our system. But one of the key things is measuring your key behaviors. And so one thing I want our audience to do is make sure that you have the Tibby app, because measuring your key behaviors every Sunday morning really is the primary purpose of the Tibby app. And so you can get it, just go to the Apple or Google App Store and key in Think It Be It. But as an example, in the app, it gives you the ability to measure seven different key behaviors over your three goals. And so, like, I'll give you an example of how I do it on mine. Like, one of the things I do is I rate my relationship with Ginger every week, scale of 1 to 10. How was it? I want to have a 9 every week. I also measure how many times I exercise for the week. My goal is to exercise 6 days a week. But as an example of those two, I'll get on the Tibby app. I will record my numbers for the current week. And after I record the numbers, then sort of the second step is to then look at my performance for the prior week. I look at the goal. I look at what my number for this week was. And I might look at what my numbers the prior weeks were. And it's just such an efficient way to do it, because once I look at that goal and what the most recent week's numbers are, I'm like, am I doing good or do I need to improve? And then I'll go down the next one. And then at the end of it, I'll go, okay, great. There's two things I need to improve on this week. And all of that is accomplished in less than probably 3 minutes. And so, but I'm curious, how do you measure your key behaviors?
Yeah, so I will use an app, and I've tried a few different types of apps, but I use an app through Growth Day that I use, where I can track my key behaviors. And so I'm doing that, you know, and then also too, I am huge on like the fitness. I love fitness, working out, all of that. So I'm always paying attention to my sleep, nutrition, And so I'm tracking all of that inside my app. So either whether it's my Fitness Pal or Fitbit is tracking all that data. So I'm paying attention to sleep. 7 hours a night is one of my goals.
Right.
So I am checking.
Can you track that?
What's that?
You track that?
I track that. Yeah, because it is that instrumental to setting myself up for my brain operating the way that I want it to operate.
Right.
Decision-making, clarity, all of those things for me. And then just hormone regulation, all of that for me, it starts with sleep and good night's rest. And so that's one of the things that I measure every week is how many nights I slept over 7 hours. And then
Are you measuring how long you're in bed or how much sleep you got?
Sleep. How much sleep?
What, do you have an Aura ring? Is that how you do
it? Yeah, I have a Fitbit watch that I
wear. Okay.
Yeah, that tracks that all for me. So, and it's not 100% accurate, but if you've worn it for as long as I've worn it, it gives you, it's, the data is pretty consistent, you know,
yeah.
me, because I wear it so free. I wear it all the time. And so I'm paying attention to that. And then I'm looking at, okay, yep, I stayed up that extra hour watching that thing that I didn't, brings no value to my life whatsoever.
Right. Right.
I felt it the next day, like I need to. So it helps me adjust, you know, my behaviors based on that. Also to, you know, the old saying, you can't improve, you know, what you don't measure. There's that.
Right.
I'm also really competitive, you know, so with myself, you know, too, where I'm like, oh, you know, I can do better than that. Or like, for me, sleep, nutrition, exercise, you know, all of these things send a message that like you are valuing yourself.
Yeah.
You're investing in yourself. And so I really work hard not to let myself down. And I know that because I measure stuff just like I measure my money and I measure my, you know. So anyway, I believe wholeheartedly in how important it is to measure these key behaviors, you know, that set you up for success.
Boy, as you're talking about it, I realized how deep this is. It's beyond just measuring. It's affirming who you are. If you're improving, if that's who you are as a person, then measuring is critical. Measuring shows you where you need to improve. But it's a whole big thing in your life once you measure your performance, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think because it too, when you're as plugged in, when you use this methodology and you're measuring, you know, you've got all this clarity, you're clear about where you're going, you're measuring those key behaviors that are going to help you get to where you're going, and you start to see this momentum, it almost, and I don't know whether this is healthy or unhealthy, but it almost becomes like addiction is too strong of a word. It's got too much of a negative connotation. But like, I know if I do these things, then this is the outcome. Okay, well, what if I did more of that? Would that improve my outcome? I'm going to do some testing and be a little scientist. My hypothesis is, then this will, and you start to get more and more nuanced when you're measuring, you know, those key behaviors. You can really start drilling down and optimizing.
Right. Well, and you know, the beauty of it is if you do your key behaviors, you're going to achieve your goals. Now you can't control achieving your goals, but you can control doing the key behaviors. And that's why I think it's so freeing when you get clarity and you're intelligently looking at, okay, here's the goal. Here's the three or four key behaviors. I'm just going to focus on doing those three or four key behaviors. And I'm, by God, going to measure myself every week. And we want to achieve the goal by the end of the quarter. Man, that's all you got to do. Just do the key behaviors. The goal will take care of itself.
Yep. And I love this. We do a version of this within the business, which is the same. Like they have key, you know, behaviors or metrics that they're looking at where we know if you make X amount of calls, you know, if you make 30 calls a day, you know, or in this particular area, candidate calls or whatever, then we know you're going to be able to build have a desk that's billing $500,000 a year at a minimum.
So right.
If you do this and you do this consistently, this is going to be the outcome.
Right.
Well, you know, it's the same, you know, kind of thing where they're checking off and being like, oh, I was short this week, or I'm, you know, I've been consistently over, my outcome should be. So, you know, point being, you can take this and look at the key behaviors within your role and be like, okay, you know, it's this, in each area of your life, you can do this. We're talking about the three key, you know, areas with, you know, relationships and health and career, but, you know, or business or whatever. But yeah.
Right. Are you a fan of Peter Attia?
We've talked about him before. I've watched some short clips of him, but I haven't sat down and consumed any of his content at length, like a full length podcast or anything. But I've seen snippets on like YouTube and shorts of him. And, you know, he seems like he knows, you know, he knows what he's talking about.
Well, I think, you know, he's based here in Austin, and him and I would say Andrew Huberman.
Huberman.
Are probably the two brightest people I know of regarding health. And one of the things that he was talking about, this is amazing. I just watched a video before we got on. He was talking about that the number one factor in longevity is VO2 max, which is essentially your cardio fitness. And the number two factor is strength. And those two factors outweigh everything else. And so I have known this for a while, and cardio is one of my strengths. And they say that if you're in the 75 percentile or better, meaning you're better than 75% of people your age, that you are prone for a long life. And so one of the things I affirm in my visualization is that I measure that every year. So I just went and measured it, and I was in the 93 percentile, which is great to know as a foundation for my health. But I also see that I need to like improve on my strength. So I'm doing more things and putting more things in my visualization to up my strength. But that's the type of thing if you're always growing and you're learning stuff, then it shows up in what you put in your visualization, which then shows up in what you're measuring. And so it all sort of fits together.
It does. When you have clarity around, so for me and, you know, for most people, but I know this for myself personally, is that health is my number one priority. Because
yeah.
If that isn't going well, nothing else in my life is going well. It makes everything harder. You know, everything suffers if my health isn't, you know, dialed in. And
right.
So once I have a ton of clarity around what my goals are and what, like, so for example, I'm taking in stuff from Peter Attia and from, you know, Huberman and
right.
all of these experts and being like, okay, well, what are those little, you know, what's that next little habit that I can implement that and where I can optimize, you know, my health?
Right.
And then I'll plug that in, you know, to my visualization because it's a behavior I need to change. And then that
right.
I'll track, you know, until it no longer needs to be tracking. Because it's like brushing my teeth. I don't track my teeth every day because I don't need, you know, it's automatic.
Right.
So that's the beauty of this too, is that reticular activating system then will start pulling those things into you that are important, that are going to enhance and optimize your, you know, whatever that thing is. And for me, you know, health is one of those things. And then, you know, you're able to use the methodology then to hardwire that new behavior in to create that new outcome. So it's just the coolest. I love it.
Right. I tell you, I listened to a podcast with Ed Milet the other day. He was talking about the subconscious mind and how the subconscious mind responds to deadlines. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, I was talking to a guest that came and spent a week with us. Is one of my stepson's friends. And he's like 39, I think, and he's trying to figure out his life. And I just listened to this podcast from Ed Milet the day before, and I was telling him what you ought to do is figure out your life. I mean, take up this habit of deep thinking two times a week and figure out your life. What do you really want to do in your life? Now, he's a musician and he'd like to be a rock star. Well, great. Probably need a more practical, I mean, I support going for your dream, but you got to pay the bills, and I think that is can be a pie in the sky dream that ends up screwing up your life if it's so unrealistic that it's not even achievable, which is basically true. But I was telling him, so learn the skill of deep thinking two times a week and start figuring out your life. What do you want to do? What are you good at? So what makes sense? And he says, I don't know. I'm thinking about creating an invention. Bad idea. That's not going to work, because it's way better to find something that the market's already accepted and go do that business. If you're going to be an entrepreneur, go do that. This idea that I'm going to come up with some magic new thing is a lousy idea, because the market, especially today, is changing so quick. What's a good idea today is a bad idea tomorrow. So unless the next Apple phone idea comes to you, I would not pursue that as your future. But back to the point of figuring out his life, I said, start thinking 2 times a week and build on what you're thinking, and then apply this idea that I want a plan by a set date. Tell your subconscious mind, I need it by this date. And I think there's a lot of power around this. Ed Milet says that when you do that, it forces your brain to not just think about stuff, but actually figure it out. And you're giving that brain a deadline. What do you think about all that?
No, I love that. And I think that I didn't watch that episode, but I myself know that I work really well, you know, under deadlines for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, I'm not quite sure, you know, why that is, but if I know that, you know, I've got a June 1st, you know, deadline for a launch or for a whatever implementation of something, then I am somebody then who, like, I will reverse engineer it.
Right.
I know what action steps I need to be taking to hit that date by. And I might I might have a ton of momentum as I get toward that actual date and have a slower start while I'm still thinking things through and kind of processing which way. And then when I get into that action taking mode. So anyway, I completely believe in having a deadline. I think that there's just something, you know, subconsciously that happens when you say, this is the day I'm going to start. And then there is even more power than in sharing that date with other people.
Right, right. Well, one maybe final topic you'd find interesting. So I met with the athletic director at the University of Texas on Friday. I'm going to go to the head coach's 2-day retreat that is held somewhere outside of Austin. And so we get into this discussion and he says, I don't have subconscious thoughts. I'm like, Chris, that is bullshit. I said, what do you mean you don't have subconscious thoughts? I mean, it's documented that you have
science. Yeah.
Right. And so we had a 30-minute discussion on this, and I see that he will operate differently than I do. Like I said, well, when you're giving a speech, don't you have the effect that you practice it on day one and then you sleep on it, and then day two, you discover that there's new stuff, and those are obviously subconscious thoughts that have changed it. He goes, no, when I got to give a speech, I just go over basically what I want to talk about that day and give it. And I'm like, wow, well, okay, that works for him. But, and I told him, I said, now, Chris, we're going to have this discussion again, and I'm going to prove to you that you have a subconscious mind. And I'm thinking about how to do that. How would you approach that?
Well, I would start at the baseline, which is, are you thinking about how you're about inflating your lungs right now and deflating your lungs?
Right.
Part? Because if you're not actually thinking about that consciously right now, then that is happening unconsciously. So everything that your body is doing, you know, the fact that you're listening and you're behind the scenes unconsciously, you are interpreting what I'm seeing based on how, like, all of that is happening at a subconscious level. It's not necessarily happening at a conscious level. It can't. Your brain cannot do everything that I just mentioned it's doing unconsciously, which is running your body. And, oh, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, let's think about that, because I'm thinking about what his response will be, which is, well, tell me something beyond my bodily functions that's going on unconsciously. What would you say to that?
What about the, does he ever, you know, one of my questions immediately would be that 3 o'clock, you know, those, you know, when you, if you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and there are thoughts that are happening, or, you know what I mean? That as in that waking hour, that kind of twilight where you're first beginning to wake up and, you know, maybe you're processing events of the day before, or your brain has gone to work on kind of planning what's happening that day. And like, that's all happening,
you know, right,
unconsciously. So that would be like, so if you're waking up and you're thinking about that, where you're half asleep, half awake, right, and that is definitely operating in at more of an unconscious level versus a conscious, you know, thought.
Well, I think his belief is that if it's not a conscious thought, it doesn't exist. And I see his point. If I'm not conscious of the thought, then it doesn't exist. And you can easily go to Google and ask them about what percentage of your daily thoughts are unconscious, and they'll tell you it's 95%. But logically, I'm going to have to think about this. Mm-hmm. There's an answer to it. And I see that, at least how I operate, I see it all the time, how unconscious thoughts are happening, and I'm influencing them by what I'm reading each day, and then that manifests itself later in the day. But I don't know, this is a good one to ponder.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll keep thinking about it. Maybe we can pick up on this too. Just let me try to think of some other, you know, potential examples of what that, you know, of what, how that would show up. And
right,
other thought that I had would be, in any of those biases that you have, like some of the stuff that's happening, like when you walk into a room and you're interpreting intuitively, like you can like through body language, through the stuff that your brain is interpreting through body language, through like all of that's happening at a subconscious level. You know what I mean? Like
that's a very good point.
Yeah, the observations that you're making, you may not be, but you're, you know what I mean? I'm not describing it very well, but I think you get where I'm going with this.
Oh, I absolutely. I mean, if you're giving a speech and you're in the middle of giving the speech and you see people yawning or looking around, you're not having necessarily a conscious thought of, oh, they're not that interested, but it's you're catching it at a subconscious level and you're processing it at a subconscious level, and it'll no doubt affect how that speech comes out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and those are the things that I think of, like when you're interpreting something, you know, but you're not verbalizing it, but it impacts, you know, so a speech, giving a speech is a perfect example of that.
Of course, he would say, well, nobody yawns at my speech. I don't know.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall for this conversation.
Right. Well, you know it. So
exactly.
I appreciate that. Okay. Well, something to ponder until next time. So we'll see you.
Thank you for listening to the Missing Secret Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about this 12-minute a day technique that gives you control over your life beyond what you've ever experienced before, visit themissingsecret.org. That's themissingsecret.org. Sign up for our free video that reveals the full secret of Think and Grow Rich, and purchase John's book, The Missing Secret. Until next time, be the exception. Work smarter, not harder, by leveraging yourself through science. It takes 12 minutes a day.